All right, hi everybody, and welcome to Lecture 84 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. We've been observing a change in America's relationship to the rest of the world. We know that America started out being independent. It declared its independence. It achieved its independence. It remained independent from the rest of the world for quite a long time. And then we saw more recently that it started to become more connected to, more entangled in the affairs of other people. And so when did that begin? When we look back at history and we want to understand how America came to be the way that it is today, what date jumps out at you, or if you prefer, what event or important event in history is where we begin to look at this transformation? Rosetta, loudly, please.
It happened when the Spaniards started to have a rule with Quebec.
No, you've got yourself a little bit tangled up there in your facts, okay? But you're on the right track with Spain. Abby, help Rosetta to get that sorted out.
Started when Cuba started to rebel against Spain.
Okay, Cuba. The problem is Cuba, and this leads to the Spanish-American War of 1898. That's the beginning. And now, where does this take us? Where does America's entanglement in the affairs of Cuba, how does this start us down the path of being a world police power? Who can explain how the old in for a penny, in for a pound principle? Walker, loudly, please.
Well, if they're protecting Cuba, they probably are going to go on and protect the whole world.
Why? That's what I'm asking, is how do we make that transition? One doesn't lead to the other unless there's kind of something that's pulling America that way. What was it?
Well, it was partly presidents and partly probably America just wanted to be known.
I get your answer, Walker, and that's a pretty good answer. It's an interesting answer. In a sense, it was up to the presidents to be the leaders of the country and to decide what should happen. Right, you are right that they are the leaders, and it's their job to define what America does, which is what James Monroe did, which is what George Washington did, right? And in this case, we have, well, James McKinley, and I think it's James, but McKinley anyway, and then Theodore Roosevelt are going to be the ones that are the leaders. But there was something about Cuba and Spain that made the Spanish-American War into, well, started to drag America into a global situation. That's what I'm looking for. The specific fact that Cuba was connected to something else through Spain. What was it? Rosetta?
Spain was an empire globally. And so when America was fighting Spain, they were fighting a global empire.
Yes, tell me, what set of islands in the Pacific did America get entangled in the affairs of?
The Philippines.
The Philippines, there we go. Okay, so we can kind of trace this hop, skip, and a jump away from the Monroe Doctrine to a new way of acting. And it starts with a hop into Cuba and a skip across to the Philippines and a jump into where? What was the third place? We got three places. We got Cuba, we got Philippines, and then we have, when did America start to act in a way like a bully itself? Which was not something that everybody was terribly happy with. What was the third place? It had to do, remember, with connecting the Atlantic and the Pacific. A world police power needs to be able to move ships from one to the other without having to go all the way around South America. Nemo?
Panama.
Okay, there we go. Three different stories. Now, strangely, this change that was going on, where America was getting involved in the affairs of other countries more and more, President Theodore Roosevelt said, well, this is just a new way of thinking of the Monroe Doctrine. It's just a new way of doing it. And some people have accepted that point of view. Most historians, including Mr. Powell, disagree completely. Historians are usually pretty suspicious of presidents that say stuff like this. If we look at that, we really examine closely what they're saying, and we usually find that they're up to something. And in this case, we disagree. Historians disagree that Theodore Roosevelt was just doing things that were basically the Monroe Doctrine, but in a little bit of a different way. But what we're going to see is that, well, certainly at a certain point, there was no way to pretend today. In fact, we're going to see there was no way to pretend that there was, in the situation we're going to see today, there was no way to pretend that there was a Teddy Roosevelt version of the Monroe Doctrine. Okay, we've got this idea that, oh, we got to be an international police power because of the Monroe Doctrine. That's what Teddy Roosevelt said. And Americans were kind of confused, and they're saying, wait a minute, the Monroe Doctrine says not to get involved in other countries. Now you're saying the Monroe Doctrine says to get involved in the affairs of other countries. How does that work again? And so people were confused and not sure. Now a situation came up where really it became obvious that there is no Teddy Roosevelt version of the Monroe Doctrine. There's either the Monroe Doctrine or the Teddy Roosevelt way of doing things. It's either or. And where that became obvious and undeniable, and nobody could say, oh, well, maybe it could be kind of a mix or something, or maybe we could think of a way in which those two, we could stretch one to be, you know, part of the other. All right, this all became quite evident in an important situation. I'm going to bring up a map here on screen momentarily. I just want to clean up my screen. And here we go. Okay, here was the situation, as illustrated by this map. All right, what continent are we looking at here? What part of the world, please, somebody? I hope everybody knows. I don't like it when I only see two hands up. I'm asking a question like this one. Jennifer, what part of the world is this? Really loudly, please. I told you my volume is down low today. All right, that wasn't really loud, but I heard you. Nobody believes a teacher when the teacher says to scream. So, all right, Europe. This is Europe. And you see the date there, Military Alliances of 1914. And we have this situation. The map sure is different than it is today. I don't know how much you guys know about the map of Europe yet. Or have studied European history with me or elsewhere, right? But this is very different. Look at the center of Europe there. There was a big thing called the German Empire, and there was another big empire called Austria-Hungary. And there's Italy, which we recognize, pretty much normal there, and we see France and Russia and the United Kingdom. Those we all recognize as well. Those were the two different sides of this war that was about to begin in 1914. Okay, there was the brown side called the Triple Alliance. And there was the green side called the Triple Entente. And they were all about to go to war. I mean, this was going to be a huge European war with all of the colonies involved as well, and it was going to become a world war. Now, if there was a war here, Why could you not stretch the Monroe Doctrine and pretend, oh yeah, we're going to use the Monroe Doctrine to explain why we're going to go get involved in a European war? How come that is pretty much the breaking point there, where you cannot pretend that there is a version of the Monroe Doctrine that says you can do that? Rosetta, explain that loudly, please.
Because the Monroe Doctrine was made so America would not fight in Europe.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Well said, Rosetta. That's what it was for. To keep America separate from Europe. You know, that was as clear a fact as could be. So, when a war started in 1914, Americans couldn't look at this and say, oh yeah, we should think of this in the Teddy Roosevelt way. This is just kind of a new situation of the Monroe Doctrine, and we should go ahead and get over there and start fighting that war with all the rest of Europe, with the countries of Europe, right? There's no way to say that. And Americans were really relieved not to be involved in this war. The war, as the president said, we've got President Wilson, and by the way, remember the timeline here with World War I? Let's zoom in a little bit on the World War I part. Okay, there's the modern part of our timeline, right? And everybody knows this is Abraham Lincoln. But here, World War I on your anchor fact timeline, this man is President Woodrow Wilson, who was the leader of the United States at the time of World War I, the president of the United States at the time. Okay? So, that's why he's on there, because he is very, very important. At the beginning of World War I, President Wilson said, well, this is a war that has nothing to do with us. And Americans were very relieved to hear the president say that. They were thinking, oh my gosh, these Europeans are at it again. They're just going to murder each other for nonstop. And we're very fortunate. America is a very different place, and we are not going to get involved in all of that. And the president seemed to promise Americans that that was the case and that he was going to follow the Monroe Doctrine. So they were looking at this situation here and they were saying, yeah, this has nothing to do with us. And the reason why there's this little place here that's marked down here, mostly this map is very general, right? You see, I've made it so that you don't have to get all confused about the details, right? Mostly it just shows you the big, most important countries and on either side. But I did include two details on this map because these are the details that kind of help us to see just how this had nothing to do with America. Because World War I started because one person was killed in Sarajevo, this little city right here in this part of Europe. That is why World War I started. One person was killed in Sarajevo. It just happened to be that he was a crown prince of Austria-Hungary. And it just happened to be that there was a little country down here called Serbia that didn't want to be swallowed up by Hungary-Austria. No, Austria-Hungary. Get it? Does everybody know the joke about Austria being hungry and anyway, eating up Serbia? So Serbia didn't want to be eaten up by a hungry Austria. And so there was a Serbian that killed the crown prince of Austria in Sarajevo. And then Austria said, we're coming to get you. And then Russia said, no, you can't do that. And once the green guys and the brown guys are against each other, kaboom. So anyway, there's a quick version of how World War I got started. And the guy's name, everybody, even people that don't know history know this name. So if you tell your parents today, World War I started because there was one guy got killed. And you might find that your parents know that even if they don't know the rest of history. The guy's name was Franz Ferdinand. Very famous dead guy. because when he died, World War I started. Now, I say all this only to just really point out how obviously none of this has anything to do with America, right? If we have somebody who's going to become the monarch of Austria-Hungary, that's exactly what James Monroe said about Europe. He said, that has nothing to do with us. We don't care about European kings. We don't believe in rulers and the whole way that Europe has been organized. We don't want to get involved because we believe in freedom. We believe in the rights of Americans. And that has nothing to do with a guy who wants to be the ruler of Serbia getting killed at Sarajevo. Right? There's just no way to connect those. And so Americans were really happy not to be involved in this war. And yet, somehow, America did get involved. This is definitely the big leap that America is going to take, where getting involved in World War I is absolutely the end of the Monroe Doctrine and America behaving as the Founding Fathers advised. So how did that happen? How did Americans, who were so happy not to be involved in this war, get involved anyway? Now, the first part of this puzzle has to do with the two sides. So I want you to look right now more closely at the two sides. The brown side is Germany, Austria, and Italy. The green side is Russia, France, and the United Kingdom. Now, can you think, just based on what you know of history, can you imagine that Americans would kind of be cheering for one side instead of the other? Would Americans have a preference at all? Or would they be completely disconnected from this? Or would they say, oh yeah, one of those sides is better than the other. We're kind of cheering for them. What do you think? Green, brown, or neither? Right? This is kind of like a historical main character puzzle. Which of these characters would matter to America, if any? Is there a main character here or not? Wyatt, what do you think?
France and the United Kingdom.
Yeah, now, and why? Why, Wyatt?
Well, France helped them out in the Revolutionary War, and the United Kingdom was their mother country.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. So of all the countries in Europe that the United States was most connected to, it was certainly the United Kingdom, or Britain as we call it, sometimes, or England, right, is the main part of it. So that's America's mother country. And then on the other hand, there's France, America's most important ally in the revolution. So these countries now were on the same side. Now, did Americans have any particular friendship or love of Austria-Hungary? Or Italy? Or Germany? Yeah, they had nothing to do with those countries. Those countries had never colonized America, had nothing to do with it. So no, Americans didn't care for the brown side. And the truth is, Americans liked the green side. So you can start to understand, this is, you know, start to here. Start to understand why Americans might look at this and say, well, we like the green side better. Now, that's not a reason to get involved in a war. You like somebody better than somebody else, right? Because here's the thing. Getting involved in a war means what? What does it mean to be in a war? Abby? Unmute yourself, Abby.
It means that you're going to send millions of Americans away from their family and into basically mortal danger.
Well put. Right. You're going to take Americans. Exactly. You're going to take Americans, and in this case, it's a world war, so you are going to send millions of them. And you're going to take them from their families, and you're going to tell them to go die somewhere. That's right. And it's... I'm kind of impressed, Abby, that you've put it that way and that you can see that, because one of the things about war, and here we are talking about yet another war in history and so on, and yet I'm pretty sure that nobody here yet, and in a way you're very fortunate, really gets what I mean. That nobody here really knows what I mean when I say war. Not really. Nobody, I mean, how many people here by a show of hands have parents who have fought or died in wars? No hands went up. Right. So did your parents ever tell you the stories of what life was like during the war? No, because they didn't fight or die in wars. And what about your grandparents? Did you ever sit on your grandfather's lap and he told you a story about the war that he fought in? Now, your parents can probably raise their hand and answer that. I can raise my hand for that, and my wife can raise my hand for that, and because our grandparents fought in World War II. But it's unlikely, even though America has fought many wars in modern times, that you have that personal connection to war. And that means, to you, war is just kind of a word. Right? It's just a word. It's got three letters, and you have to kind of try to spark your imagination, and it's not something that you want to do, because you can get your Lego figurines and you can kind of pretend that they're fighting a war, but you don't really know what that means. Not really. And, you know, that's wonderful. I'm not complaining, but it's really interesting because people who don't know, that's one of the reasons why they end up getting involved in wars, because they don't know how terrible it is. And it's just a word. And then only once they've lived through one do they say, I never want that again, ever. So it's kind of interesting. Americans were at the point now where they hadn't really gone through anything terrible since what? If we're looking 1914, when had been the last time that Americans had gone through something so terrible? Rosetta?
Civil War.
Yeah, exactly. Let me bring this back up now. Right? When was the last time Americans knew how terrible war was? Only here, right? So how far apart is that? Let's do some mental math. 1915 to 1865. Take away the... How many years is that? 50 years, folks. 50 years. That's plenty of time for people to forget. Spanish-American War wasn't bad at all. It's a small war. America was much stronger than Spain. It was no big deal. They didn't know how terrible it was. So now we're starting to kind of, the reason why I'm bringing this up here is we're trying to understand how would America kind of ignore the Monroe Doctrine and end up going to war anyway. Well, so far we've got two smallish reasons. One, France and England were on the same side and America was cheering for that side. Two, Americans didn't really understand how horrible war was. They'd kind of forgotten. It was old news. So this tends to happen in societies where wars don't happen all the time. They kind of happen at certain kind of intervals after people forget how horrible they are, and then they end up having another one. Until then, those people remember and they don't want to have one again until they forget, and then you have one again. So we got those reasons. And then, now I'm going to bring up some more here. And then, well, oh, I've got to go back to my map first, just a sec. And then, before I get to this one, Germany made a set of rules for this war. They said basically to everybody else, they said, look, this area over here is off limits. They said, you can't, even if you're neutral, like the United States, you can't go in there. This is a war zone. We, Germany, are at war with the United Kingdom. Therefore, all of these islands are a war zone. If you're neutral, don't go there. We warn you. Right? And, well, not everybody listened. Americans were wanted to help the United Kingdom, wanted to help France. So they would send supplies to them. Even sometimes weapons on ships that were not supposed to be carrying weapons. There was a famous ship called the Lusitania, which was an ocean liner. And for a brief spell, the largest passenger ship in the world. Here's a picture of it. And kind of reminds you of another ship, doesn't it? Does this kind of look like another ship, a kind of famous ship that also crossed the Atlantic Ocean? Anybody know about the Titanic? Right, that kind of super amazing ship from the World War I times. Look at all the stuff that it had. This amazing ship had a wireless telegraph. And it had electrical lighting. And other such amazing things. So it was definitely an industrial ship. But Americans were on board when the Lusitania was sailing back to England. And then, well, boom. A German submarine launched a torpedo and sunk the ship. And there were 128 Americans on the ship. Jeremy, question or comment? Go ahead and unmute yourself if you do. Somehow I'm having lots of technical difficulties today. Jeremy, go ahead. All right, how about mute yourself again? Doesn't seem like you've got anything there. So the Lusitania was sunk. Americans were killed. So now we got another reason to say, well, maybe we want to get involved and teach Germany a lesson for being such a bully. And now we got reason number four. Germany sent a special telegram to Mexico. And they said, Mexico, would you like to be our ally? If so, we'll help you to attack America. Can anybody imagine why Germany would do such a thing? Why would Germany imagine, perhaps, that Mexico might like to be an ally against America? Rosetta?
Because America had taken away most of their territory.
Mm-hmm, and the Mexican-American War, yeah. So there was probably still, and to this day, some resentment about the fact that Mexico had lost some land to the United States. So Germany sent a telegram to Mexico saying, hey, we're involved in a war, and we're a little bit worried about the United States kind of joining on the other side. So how about being our ally, and we'll help you attack the United States? And America learned about this telegram. So you can see that people were starting to have a bunch of different reasons why they might get upset with Germany. But fortunately, or in the end it didn't matter, but at first, still this wasn't enough. Americans were still thinking, okay, yeah, we got a lot of things to be upset about. But being upset is different from taking millions of Americans and sending them to die in Europe. Right? Being really angry is not the same as thinking to yourself, yep, we are going to be a nation that goes and joins in the killing. And our men and women will go there and die there by the thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands. Yep, we're just because we're angry, we're going to go let that happen. So that was the thing, is for a long time, Americans said, no, that's not a good enough reason for us to go. And yet they went. So why? Why? Why did America enter the war? Where's my... Sorry. I was hoping that would come up more easily. There's a man's picture here for a reason. There's a man's picture here for a reason. President Woodrow Wilson. President Woodrow Wilson is the president that finally threw the Monroe Doctrine away and said America's going to behave differently. What did he say? What did he say? This is from an important speech by Woodrow Wilson in 1917. He said, American ships have been sunk, so right, remember? American lives taken. So yes, we're all angry about that. But, remember how we were reading Theodore Roosevelt's line and there was the word or? Sometimes those are the most important words of all in a speech. But the ships and people of other nations have been sunk. The challenge is not just to America, but to all mankind. Does that language remind you of something? Let me show you. Anybody see a word on this poster about Theodore Roosevelt that is a similar word to mankind? Jennifer?
Humanity.
Humanity, yes, indeed, right? So now, America is not just going to be taking care of Americans. The job now, the job description has changed. America now is going to try to take care of humanity, to take care of mankind. We're going to skip down here. We are glad to fight for the ultimate peace of the world. For all the peoples of the world, including the German people. So in other words, we're going to go and fight a war against Germany for whose sake? For the sake of the world, including Germany. We're going to fight Germany for Germany. And this is the final statement of a new way of life for America. The most famous phrase of Woodrow Wilson's. The world must be made safe for democracy. America was now going to be on a new mission. We're going to talk about this again. We'll come back tomorrow, kind of discuss this a little bit. What does this mean? All right, we have been talking about this word democracy before. We've looked at things like popular sovereignty. We looked at the fact that America was not a democracy. Instead, it was a republic. But now we have an American president saying that democracy is the most important thing and that America is going to try to make the world safe for it. What's happening here? It's obvious that America is changing in an important way. That's what we'll look at more closely again tomorrow. Okay, thanks, folks. That'll do it for today. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.